When these words fell upon my spirit this morning, immediately there followed the chapter that I have read this evening. When we come to think of our soul salvation, it must repose itself in these words: be still and know that I am God. By the teaching of the Spirit, everyone is brought to the end of all things and to a state verging on hopelessness as well as helplessness. Under these circumstances, they may well describe their experience of soul as being at their wits' end and knowing not what to do. We then read those encouraging words in Isaiah's prophecy: look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. Whilst in many things we may be called upon to be still and know that the Lord is God, yet certainly in the matter of our soul salvation, we shall be called upon to do just what the Scripture here declares. If we are able to be still, it will often produce a restfulness in our own spirits. And if we are able to be still, by the grace of God, and be satisfied to view the work of God manifested in Jesus Christ, will that not also bring rest to our spirits? We have in the prophecy of Isaiah, O thou tossed with tempest and not comforted. It is a description which is just the reverse of being still. And under these circumstances and feelings, one may come to a conclusion that they never can be still. But our God is one that spoke to the winds and the waves and said to them, peace, be still. It is the same Almighty God that comes into the soul tossed with tempest and not comforted and says, be still. And where the word of a king is, there is power. And yet sometimes we become still by something suddenly appearing and attracting our attention. So to speak, that which takes us out of ourselves. Now, the cross of Christ, revealed by the power of the Spirit, will take us out of ourselves. And therefore we shall be still, just forgetting at the moment all the winds and the waves which provoked and raised so many things that produced the tempest and the tossing, the uncertainty and the fears, the anxiety and the distresses. But it is God's work in us, when we may see God's work for us. Well, now, with the help of God, we will pursue this line of things. Be still and know that I am God. My own arm brought salvation. What is our feeling? What has been our feeling in respect to our own salvation? You know, it does not mean to say that because years ago we felt quite settled about our own salvation, we had a comfortable hope that Christ had died for us, that we shall never come into a place where the devil will blow, as he did in Job's day, blow and bring up a tempest. And in bringing up a tempest will produce many fears and disquietude in our souls. And because of the surroundings, we shall have quite forgotten all that God had spoken, so occupied with the fears that now possessed us, so occupied with the environment into which we were now plunged, and our faith seemed to be at a low ebb, our hope seemed to be perished from the Lord. And all this just added to our agitation. How mighty is that power that comes to us and says, be still and know that I am God. I am God that hath spoken. Be still and consider. Be still and let your prayer be answered. Holy Spirit, calm my mind. If our mind isn't calm, we can't think about anything straightly. And we cannot meditate upon anything properly. But God is able to come and say, be still. And know that I am God. And this is the first intimation, perhaps, under the present experience, that we might discover this glorious truth. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? But in looking at these words, we would regard them in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ being the surety of his people. If our sins have been real to us, so will our condemnation have been real. And how shall we be delivered from condemnation? In the Romans, we have these words, who is he that condemneth? There will not be wanting those that will attempt to condemn. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, even that is risen again. Be still and know that I am God. Christ proved his Godhead when he rose from the dead. In so many incidents, particularly toward the end of the Lord's life upon earth, it would appear that the enemies of God were gaining the ascendancy. And undoubtedly, when the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," there were many that did not understand those words at all. Doubtless they would have interpreted them as meaning that all was finished. His work was never completed. He went out to be somebody, and like so many other people, had come to nothing. But it was not so. And those that have the faith of Jesus Christ will observe, as they are still, they know that this is God. Now, in our reading, there was the reference made to the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane's garden. If the Spirit of God should give us faith to behold that scene and to link it with these words, "Be still and know that I am God." And therefore I must overcome Satan with all his great hosts. Must be defeated. What has Satan and his great host done to you and me sometimes? Indeed, it hasn't needed Satan and his great host. Even one of his fallen angels might have played havoc with us. But now we see the Lord of life and of glory in Gethsemane's garden, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Many may see the outward form, may see the humanity, or shall I say, a human person. But can we really believe and see that this is Almighty God doing what? Bringing about the greatest work that were he ever engaged upon. It was a great work when he created the world. It was a great work when the new creation, the new birth, was brought forth. But here, may we not say, is the greatest of his works, the work of redemption, which none but God could accomplish. Oh, be still. Be still when your sins surround you. Be still when your unbelief is dragging you down to the borders of the pit. Be still when infidelity rides high and the thought is rampant in your carnal mind, there is no God. Be still and know that I am God before your very eyes. It is a view of God in Christ that will settle our atheism. It is a view of God in Christ that will put unbelief to flight. And here we find in this sacred spot called Gethsemane, a place to which the Lord himself had often resorted. And only he knew that this would be the place where he would be betrayed into the hands of wicked men. Mr. Hart gives a view of Gethsemane in these words: hear, they oft conversing sat, or might join with Christ in prayer. Oh, what blessed devotions that when the Lord himself is there. All things to them seem to agree to endear Gethsemane. And this is one side of the scene in Gethsemane. And we may often look at the pleasant side of communion with Christ, as well we might, and be thankful for it. But then, come at length the dreadful night, vengeance with its iron rod stood, and with collected might bruised the harmless Son of God, the Lamb of God. See, my soul, thy Saviour, see. Groveling in Gethsemane. We shall find an echo in our souls with this line, if we have found an echo at other times, with another line in our hymn book, look how we grovel here below. And we need a Saviour that will come down to that level. And so we shall find some wonderful view of our Saviour groveling in Gethsemane, having to come down into the filth and the mire of the earth in order that he might lift up his church and exalt them on high. Be still with amazement to see my Saviour sunk so low. Surely we shall be still both with amazement and astonishment to see my Saviour in the place that I've been in. Not a sinful man. Oh no. Not a sinful man. But coming down to that place in order that he might overcome the sin that makes us grovel on the ground. The sin that brings us down so low. The thing, sin that makes us earthbound. Be still with amazement and with astonishment to see my Lord sunk so low. At the same time, and know that I am God. We come into places, we are immediately contaminated by the sin surrounding us. The Lord came into this sinful world and he was never contaminated. He could touch the leper, but he was never contaminated with the leprosy. He can put forth his hand and touch a sinner and yet not be contaminated with their sin. Oh, be still and know that I am God, paying the penalty, enduring the cross, seeking to meet the debt of his whole church in Gethsemane upon the cross. Here we may well pause. Oh, that we may pause more often and be still and know that this is God, verily God and verily man, that was in the garden, that was on the cross. The fact that men seemed to be doing what they liked, the fact that he was betrayed into the hand of sinners, The fact that he was spit upon and scorned and set at naught, in no way was to detract from that which was to be given to the faith of the people of God: be still and know that I am God. An example of this is given from time to time. On one occasion, he answered their question, or his question to them: whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he, the Almighty God, the flesh of Almighty power. And they fell to the ground. Oh, be still and know that I am God. If we are led by the Spirit of God into the Garden of Gethsemane and get some little idea on how little it will be of the Lord's sufferings there, enduring the vengeance of God against sin, justice following him hard at heel, all the things that were the dreadful enemies that seemed to be the condemnation of our souls. Be still. Here is salvation. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. The psalmist says here, salvation is of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. As we have already mentioned, my own arm brought salvation. But then we may pass on to consider this point: a demonstration that Jesus Christ was God is made that he can forgive sin. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. What do we see then on the cross? What do we hear? Those words, which are truly remarkable and may have their application sometimes to ourselves: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, Andrew Bonar, he has a line in regard to, or upon the words, crucify him, crucify him. And he says, it seemed that I heard my voice above the rest. And can it be that having such an enmity to God, joining with greater vehemence, with the shouting of the crowd, crucify him, away with him, and we should clearly hear our voice above the rest, that we should also hear those unforgettable words penetrating our souls: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Be still and know that I am God. Only God could pray unto God. God, our advocate and intercessor, could pray unto Almighty God to forgive these poor people. Now be still and know that I am God. We see in the next place his pity. His pity. Doubtless there would be many people with an emotionalism that would feel pity for the Lord Jesus Christ. But how much pity he bestowed upon those particularly near at hand, but in respect to the whole church in all ages. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And can we read this into these precious words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many things have we done unwittingly, not realizing the consequences, not realizing the seriousness of the matter? What compassion then is found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Compassion which belongs to God alone. Human compassion, wonderful though that is, can never be compared with God's compassion. And so we have every reason to be still and know that I am God. It is a setting forth of God's compassion. Has God been compassionate to you and to me? How deep has that compassion been? How needful has it been to be deep? And his compassion was not just in word only. It was not just looking on with a tenderness of eyes, so to speak, but it was a compassion that demanded action. That compassion was moved by love. And that compassion demonstrated that this was the Almighty God suffering for poor and wretched and lost sinners. Can we find ourselves then sometimes torn asunder because of the effect of sin upon us? Not the commission of sin by us, but the effect of sin upon us, with all its paralyzing effects, so that we're not able to do the things that we would, and the very things that we would, that we would not do, we find that we do. Be still and know that I am God, who is able to deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. And do we sometimes feel like that? When sin seems to have an effect upon us, an adverse effect, and we have no helper, I have no power the snare to shun, I ever into ruin run. Be still and know that I am God. I have laid help upon one that is mighty, one chosen out of the people. What a prophecy concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Almighty Father, having laid help upon one that is mighty, the mighty Son, even in his weakness. He was mighty, for we read in the Corinthians that the weakness of God is stronger than men. So then be still and know that I am God, who is able to have compassion, and does have compassion. And then, be still and know that I am God, that you may listen to those words resounding in the hearts of all the people of God, the whole church, saved by grace. It is finished. The work which my Father gave me to do, it is finished, as we have it in the epistle to the Hebrews by one offering. He sanctified forever his church. One offering. Finished everything. Finished the sin and the condemnation by sin of all the church. Then be still and know that I am God who has finished. Oh, the finished work of Christ. It has often been the burden of Christian meditation, the finished work of Christ, acceptable in every way. In him, the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. That part was finished. But when it was a matter of offering himself a sacrifice unto God, the Lamb of God, then that was to finish the sin of the church, to blot it out forever. And in all this, there is a clear demonstration, and can we have a clearer, that I am God. So, we may be still to observe it, to observe the Lord in his work. We may be still, as the psalmist was, when he said, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. A lamb before her, as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The Lamb in your place and in my place, shall we not be still in that respect? Be still in worship and in adoration. If we are still outwardly, we need not be still inwardly in this way, that though our fears are calmed, there is an ecstasy in worship and in rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought and giveth us the victory. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. It is written, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And then again we read in the Acts of the Apostles that Jesus Christ was exalted for to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. Here we have a further demonstration that I am God. He is exalted among the heathen. When Christ was exalted in our hearts or before our eyes, then would we have been offended if we had been referred to as the heathen? The Almighty God arose, was lifted up on the cross, and the heathen looked with eyes opened and declared that this is the Christ. And how did they know that this was the Christ? It was because they received repentance. He is exalted to give repentance to Israel. But were not these the godly seed? Surely we have much evidence in the scriptures bear this point out, that though professedly they were worshippers of God, yet in respect to Jesus Christ they were heathens. They had no knowledge of Jesus Christ, a conception, a figment of their imagination, but no true knowledge of Jesus Christ. But then the time came when the Lord Jesus was a light. I am the light of the world. The light shining in darkness. Just imagine your dark scene. And sometimes it is a dark scene. Wherever you look, there is darkness. Sometimes darkness in respect to tomorrow's doings. Darkness in respect to the future. Sometimes darkness with respect to eternity. And then the light shines. The hope of Israel appears. The Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. And not only is he revealed, but he is exalted. And not only is he exalted, but it is for this purpose to give repentance. Now, this is not to be considered as merely a change of mind, or even a change of heart, but that which comes forth from a regenerated heart. And a regenerated heart will repent with love in it. People may repent in the sense that they say, yes, I've changed my mind, I have different views about Jesus Christ. But you know, we shall need love in our hearts to make the tears flow. And repentance toward God will require love in our heart. You may immediately recall to mind that Esau found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. His tears were not tears of love. They were tears with hatred in his heart, with vengeance upon his brother Jacob. We shall never find a repentance of that sort. But when Jesus Christ is exalted to give repentance, then the Spirit of God shows us some of the points that we've already mentioned. His sufferings, his intercession, his compassion, his pity, his tenderness, and may we not say his kindness. There has never been a surety like Jesus Christ, because it must be everlasting kindness on the part of Jesus Christ to stand in our place. For a good man, some would even dare to die, the scriptures tell us. How great then is that everlasting kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ, manifesting him as the Almighty God that was willing to be our surety. He did not take it on without knowing what it meant. The scripture was well known, I'm sure. Must have been, because here's the fullness of scripture. The surety shall smart for it. And how the Lord Jesus Christ smarted for sin, the sin of the church. Has he smarted for your sin that has made you, not naturally, but spiritually, by the power of the Spirit, weep before him? Weep because of his love. Now you see, these are the secret experiences of the children of God, when you're alone very often, or if you're not alone, you'll want to be alone, to express your feelings, and yet you may not find words to express your feelings. And in this, you will be still. And God is revealing this to you, and know that I am God. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. None at all. And surely this is so much set forth when we consider what this meant. Who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Now you see, sometimes we may hear our dear friends observing the sweetness of the first part of this verse. And it is sweet and blessed. The eternal God is thy refuge, and under the beneath of the everlasting arms. But what about the time when Satan is thrusting upon you, and you can't thrust him away? Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. And then Moses burst forth with these words, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And what have thine enemies said? There be many which say, there is no help for him in God. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. And the psalmist again says, concerning the enemies of his soul, aha, so would we have it, persecute and take him, for God hath forsaken him. And if such fearful words have ever entered into our souls, then we shall know what it means in its penetrating affliction, and we shall rejoice if these words come quietly upon us, our spirit, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That's a wonderful word. Not exalted in heaven, although that is true, but exalted in the earth. Exalted in the hearts of the people of God. Exalted as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as the one who has laid down his life. Be still and know that I am God. Now, do we need this word to be before our minds now? I hope it has not been without some purpose. What has the devil done to us today? Has he overcome us? Or has he got us down and intends to keep us down? And there seems no way of deliverance. Well now, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Bunyan, in his account of man's soul in the Holy War. You know, they got into a very sad state on one or two occasions. They listened to the liars. And then there was an army of 20,000 doubters that got in through one of the gates, and they created havoc in man's soul. But then, you see, they petitioned. There was one man there, I just forget his name, that Bunyan gives to him, but he was just a man that God had put there, as it were, that caused the people to cry unto Emmanuel. It was a question of being still, because they were hemmed in. Be still and know that I am God. And Emmanuel came and completely routed all those enemies, so that if they were not cast out of the town of Mansoul, they had to be quiet, because Emmanuel was in residence. Is Emmanuel in residence in our souls? Oh, or are we troubled with the enemies, the liars? Be still and know that I am God. And therefore we may pray. Maybe our petitions may be feeble, but we may pray. Oh Lord, when wilt thou come unto me? Oh Lord, I am oppressed, and save me from the oppressor. Undertake for me. What a word is that in the scripture? Undertake. One who takes everything in hand and deals with it. How often we need God to be an undertaker. I will be exalted among the heathen. The heathen in the earth, and the heathen in our own hearts, our carnal hearts too. I will be exalted among the heathen. And when I am, then the desires of the newborn son out of my Father's hand. The sheep of the shepherd are the adopted children of God, and they are Christ's. Therefore they will hear his voice. They will be aware of his presence, and being aware of his presence, they will feel safe. It is a blessing if we're alone, or if we're in danger, or if we're in fear, to feel that our shepherd is near. And if you've ever felt anything like that, I'm not alone, for God is with me. The apostle said, all forsook me and fled, but God stood by me. God stood with me. Therefore he was not alone. Why? Because of the words that we have before us. And ye are Christ's. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and about those that hope in his mercy. Some of you are alone in your own abodes. What a consolation when you feel that you're not alone, that Christ is with you. Christ is with you through the dark nights. Christ is with you even through difficult days. Well, if this is true, and your humble testimony accordingly bears it out, must you not say that this word is true concerning you? And ye are Christ.